League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on a Monday on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time to look back on a weekend full of sports. So much on the line and at stake this weekend. NFL week number 7 in the Sunday slate. A monumental week 8 Saturday in college football with a ton of detail for you. A World Series is now booked with two pennant winners facing off with two of the most iconic brands in all of sport. And a championship on the line last night, the first ever in franchise history for the New York Liberty in the WNBA. DRS, so much to get to look back on here on this Monday morning. The NBA season starts tomorrow, by the way. There is so much here in store on this Monday edition of the Early Line.
Monday is so good. It's armchair quarterback style. It's trying to get involved in every game on Sunday afternoon. What happened in college football? We get that. And also, as you like to know, Ben, I am the commissioner of sports. The NBA starting tomorrow is a travesty. The NBA should start on Christmas Day and or later, maybe even New Year's Day, so we can all have fun and pay attention to it. Because the football right now, and I'll say it once again, college football, it's a shame, Ben. Watching those games, Texas and Georgia, I mean, the Georgia fans, did they even watch? Because theoretically, aren't they already out of the college football playoff with a loss and they can't make it? I will take these victory laps on this awesome college football season, Ben.
I am glad, DRS. It has been awesome. It's been historic. It's generational. Look at the AP poll that was released yesterday afternoon. Oh, we'll talk all about the weekend that was in CFB in our second hour. But, of course, we start by playing Monday morning armchair quarterback. And if we're going to do that, it starts with slander of the New York Jets. Devontae Adams does not kick. He does not play offensive line. And he certainly does not throw the football. That's what a 40-year-old quarterback does in Aaron Rodgers. Multiple interceptions again, and in a second consecutive week in primetime in a marquee matchup where all the Jets had to do was win a football game. Booked as a 2.5-point road favorite, they failed to do that as Russell Wilson in his Pittsburgh debut leads the Steelers storming back in the second half. Picture perfect offensively in that second half to score 31 unanswered to topple New York 37-15. The Steelers, a winning football franchise, wins outright as a 2.5-point underdog.
We'll get to this game a little bit later, so we can't just go through the 7-7 and me just take up 7 minutes here on this game, which I would love to do. But I'm going to be honest with you. I thought the Jets would win that game, but let's set that aside here. I also told the people out here, including everybody on this network, that Russell Wilson is so far above a better quarterback than Justin Fields. And I love the first quarter, Ben, when we were getting on Twitter. Oh, I can't believe it, Ben Truss. And the boos coming from those idiot Steelers fans who have no idea what good football is anymore because they're so used to losing in the playoffs. You have a Hall of Fame quarterback that can make the simple throw, that can open up the passing game. George Pickens was a zombie for 2 weeks because that quarterback, Justin Fields, could not open up the playbook. And now look at Russ. They had their most points they scored yesterday on a top 10 defense, cruising up and down the field. But as I said, I don't want to tip my hand on this game. I'm too excited about it. I just want to let the people know. Your boy DRS, he was right. You were wrong.
16 of 29 for 264 and two touchdowns in that game for Russell Wilson. There is so much more to get to. We'll dedicate an entire segment to it before this first half hour is in the books. But also yesterday, a Super Bowl 58 rematch and a potential Super Bowl 59 preview in Northern California between the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. DRS, one of the two teams that took the field yesterday, looks to be a Super Bowl contender, and it wasn't the team at home in Santa Clara. The Chiefs, as they did in Las Vegas, win in Santa Clara 28-18 outright as a 2.5 point underdog. KC remains perfect, a perfect 6-0 record so far this season.
And by the way, again, I had a very good day yesterday, a fun weekend overall, but I love to call my losses out. And I thought the San Francisco 49ers, Ben, would win this game. Now, granted, Deebo Samuel checked out before the game started with an injury. Brandon Ayuk, who even knows if he's checking back in this season. We'll talk to Doc a little bit later in the show to get some heads up on that knee injury for Ayuk, which could be absolutely devastating. But Ben, we've done this show a lot. And you heard me say in the offseason, every time we brought up the Kansas City Chiefs, is Andy Reid on the sideline? Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes healthy? Yes. It doesn't. He could play with a bunch of seventh graders on that football field against NFL talent. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes wins. And I look at the statistics here. He just wins football games. End of story.
End of story, DRS, despite throwing for less than 160 yards and having multiple interceptions, did have a rushing touchdown where he trucked the defender right past the pylon. And Kareem Hunt is back in KC. Two rushing scores yesterday. Plenty more from the Super Bowl 58 rematch in just a moment. Huge NFC North game yesterday in Minneapolis. The undefeated Minnesota Vikings and the Detroit Lions. Both teams are 5-1. Kansas City is the only undefeated side left as Minnesota is handed its first loss in a thriller. Jake Bates, the winning field goal for Detroit as the Lions hand the Vikings their first loss of the season, 31-29, winning outright as a very slight underdog in the Twin Cities.
Absolutely love me some Lions. And by the way, the NFC North, can we scribble out the name of that division here and just change it to the SEC of the NFL? What an unbelievable division SEC. Here. That just gives you 10 Bell football games every single week. You know what, in the NFL, remember back in the COVID days, like, oh, the Big Ten's not going to play, the Pac-12's not going to play, but the SEC's like, we'll play here. If just the NFC North played, I would be fine with it. That division is stacked, Ben.
SEC, more like Big Ten country. The Big Ten's got three of the top four teams in the AP Top 25. Check your math. Now, continue to recap everything from a Sunday slate in the NFL, it's time for Major League Baseball. The Yankees and Juan Soto, a three-run blast in extras on Saturday night. The Pinstripes on to the World Series and a pennant winner for the first time in 15 years. The Dodgers yesterday back at home in the ravine as the Mets force game six with a victory on Friday. The Dodgers triumphant back in L.A. 10-5, the victory over the Mets. L.A. is back in a World Series for the fourth time in the last 12 seasons.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did I see the TV execs and Rob Manfred popping champagne bottles with both the Dodgers and the Yankees in their postgame celebrations? Because this is a World Series that everybody would love. Stop the hating out here. Superstar versus superstar. East Coast versus West Coast. Biggie Smalls out there versus Tupac. Rekindle it all, baby. We're back. We're back.
The 12th time the Yanks and the Dodgers have met in a World Series, most recently in 1981. Iconic brands with a championship on the line. That's good stuff. A championship at stake last night in Brooklyn. Winner take all game five between the Liberty and the Lynx for a WNBA title. It wasn't pretty. It goes to overtime. It was the theme of the series. The average margin decided by 5 points in these five games, but New York wins its first ever championship, 67-62 in OT.
Congratulations going straight up against the New York Jets and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I hope everybody enjoyed that game because, Ben, I didn't see a single tip-off, basket, turnover, brick three-point shot from that game. Do better, WNBA. You got to be kidding me, man.
30.6% field goal percentage for the Liberty, but the pain of missing shots eased by a championship trophy. SEC Saturday, a significant one in week eight. Georgia beats Texas in Austin outright as an underdog. Tennessee singing a Rocky Top once again in Knoxville as they come back to beat Alabama in a low-scoring affair. So much more from the college football weekend in hour two. It's a Football Monday recapping Sunday. Now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Recapping the entirety of a Sunday slate around the National Football League, live right here on this Monday. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Super Bowl 58 rematch on a Sunday in Santa Clara. And entering the day, DRS, and this week's 7 NFL slate, a potential Super Bowl 59 preview with the two conference championship favorites and the two shortest prices to win a Lombardi Trophy this season. But yesterday, only one team displaying that Super Bowl pedigree. It is Kansas City. The Chiefs win the Super Bowl rematch and look like a Super Bowl contender once again, 28-18. Donnie, in this game, neither quarterback throws for more than 215 yards. We got five combined interceptions between the two QBs and not a single touchdown pass. And yet the Chiefs win comfortably by double digits as a 2.5-point road underdog, as they did as an underdog in Las Vegas with their third Lombardi Trophy in the last 5 years in Super Bowl 58. Kansas City remains the beacon in the NFL. Kansas City remains undefeated. And the 49ers have a lot of questions left to be answered.
Like, we can talk about luck and when you play teams and what happens, and the Chiefs coming off a bye playing the 49ers, who Debo was sick before the game. Ayuk got hurt, what, in the second quarter of that football game? You don't have Christian McCaffrey. Jordan Mason's a quality running back, but he's playing with a separated shoulder. Remove that, because NFL teams are going to go through injuries and cycles, and sometimes you just get the better matchup here. But in no way, shape, or form, if you're telling me before the game Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for a 157 and have two interceptions, they're going to win this game at San Francisco by double digits. Like, make it make sense. It doesn't. It's just an unbelievable organization that we have to start saying, is Steve Spagnuolo the best defensive coordinator in football? Because he doesn't have, look, he's got an unbelievable defensive line that gets pressured by Chris Jones. But outside of that, it's just good football players getting coached up to play over their expectations. It's been wonderful to watch. The Chiefs are 6-0. Usually we say, yeah, the Chiefs are 6-0. Mahomes is averaging three touchdown passes per game and 350 plus in the air. You can't stop them. That's not the case. Patrick Mahomes has more interceptions than touchdowns on the season, They're unbeaten, and they're beating good football teams along the way. It's wild to see what's going on. Now, quickly, let's shift it over to the San Francisco 49ers. They're 3-4 on the season. They're at a crossroads right now. McCaffrey is supposed to come back, but is he going to be the Christian McCaffrey that was the best running back in the NFL for the past 2 to 3 seasons? I'm not sure of that. Brandon Ayuk, say what you want here. Got a ton of money in the offseason. That offense was built so perfectly with a solid offensive line, a dominant running game that could both run and pass the football, run and catch the football out of the backfield. One of the better tight ends in football, the perfect Swiss Army knife in Debo Samuel, and a great route running wide receiver in Ayuk. They win at every single level. Ben, I don't know what's going to happen now, because a lot of big wide receivers already moved where you could have made that choice, let's just say if Ayuk got hurt 2 to 3 weeks ago. That is a devastating injury from Brandon Ayuk's perspective, because now you're taking away that perfect route runner that adds to every level of your dimension of offense. I'm worried about the San Francisco 49ers. They're 3-4 for a reason. They're not a good football team right now.
Completely agree, DRS. This 49ers team is sub 500. Brock Purdy has 7 interceptions this year as well. 3 yesterday against the Chiefs. And the defense is being exposed in certain areas as well. And look at how Kansas City is doing so. It's not like KC is devoid of their issues offensively or their drastic injuries. Isaiah Pacheco, more than likely out for the year. Two top targets, Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown, who hasn't even played a snap for Kansas City, might not play this season either. Kareem Hunt, who won a Super Bowl with Kansas City the first time they beat San Francisco, two rushing touchdowns. Mecole Hardman, who got the game-winning touchdown back for Kansas City. He didn't start last year with the Chiefs in that Super Bowl against San Francisco. A rushing score yesterday. And Mahomes, who threw for a 154, zero touchdown tosses, and two interceptions, also showing off the legs. Donnie, to everything you have always said about this Kansas City team, is Andy Reid there? Check. Has he held on to Steve Spagnuolo? Check. Is Patrick Mahomes still finding ways to get it done? Check. KC should be the Super Bowl favorite, and here they are. They are the last undefeated team in the National Football League. And Donnie, the conversation was, right, last year, if there was ever a time to knock the Chiefs off their perch, it would have been a season ago. The Chiefs were an underdog four times last year, including their final three games, divisional round, championship round, Super Bowl against San Francisco. They won outright. They went outright as a dog once again yesterday in Santa Clara. The Chiefs just keep finding ways to win the most significant football games each and every week, each and every year.
Yeah, and you're taking a look at up next is the Raiders. That should be a victory. The Buccaneers at home, that should be a victory. The Broncos at home, it should be a victory. Then it gets a little bit tough with the Bills, but you get the point here. It looks like, once again, the AFC Championship is going to run through Arrowhead. Now, I don't even think, to be honest, 6-0, love what they're doing here. They're not the best team in the AFC, and that's going to show up. But if you do have Patrick Mahomes and home field advantage, that's going to matter. And even like games like yesterday, you went on the road and won by double digits. Mahomes was effectively bad at quarterback. Oh, they must have leaned on Travis Kelce. The guy's been a mirage this entire season. Comes up every once in a while to have a decent game, but otherwise, what, four catches for 17 yards yesterday? Nothing is making sense out of Kansas City. That now it looks like they're turning into Patrick Mahomes. I can make a play when you need, but we're going to lean on this really good Steve Spagnuolo defense, and it's working in their favor. They're going to have a great record at the end of the year, and the championship, once again, with the best record, you go through Arrowhead, it's hard to beat. Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, I don't know how you beat them. Why? Because nobody's beating them this year.
They've also covered in 5 of 6 wins. They won outright as the dog yesterday. The 49ers, 3-4 straight up and ATS. The odds makers still have belief in the Niners, booked as a favorite in all 7 games this year. San Francisco tied for the 3rd best price to win a Super Bowl alongside Detroit. But the Lions, now the favorites to win the NFC. Huge victory for Detroit yesterday on the road in Minneapolis. We'll talk about Detroit. We'll talk about Minnesota, no longer perfect. We'll talk about the NFC North as a whole, a gauntlet of a division. And Mahomes, somehow, some way, is the NFL MVP favorite because of his team being perfect. He has more interceptions, 8, then touchdown passes this year, only 6. Now to Sunday night in the Steel City. The Steelers keep finding ways to win. The Jets keep finding ways to lose. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sunday night football in the Steel City for a second consecutive week. The New York Jets playing in a primetime marquee matchup in a game they had to have. The New York Jets have been the focus of the NFL in the last 10 days. They fire their head coach in Robert Saleh. They make a change at offensive coordinator and who is calling the plays. They trade for Devontae Adams, all to benefit Aaron Rodgers, all for him to look like a mediocre 40-year-old quarterback. And there was also another narrative entering Sunday night in the Steel City. Russell Wilson, not Justin Fields, getting a start for the Steelers, making his debut in a Pittsburgh uniform. Wasn't great early, was great at the end when it mattered. The Steelers score 31 unanswered points to absolutely rout the New York Jets, 37-15. Pittsburgh wins outright as a 2.5-point underdog. And maybe, just maybe we can finally stop expecting the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers to deliver when it matters most.
Here's what I liked yesterday the most. I'm going to get to the Steelers in just a second, Russell Wilson. But last week, the narrative was, all right, you're going to change the coach because obviously he was the issue. Nobody ever looked at the Jets before that and said, boy, the defense is the problem. It's always been the offense. So let's move forward to Davante Adams getting added to this football team. Nobody ever said, like, the Jets are one wide receiver away from winning this whole thing. Nobody ever said that. So it's fun that it plays out that way. Now, granted, the Jets did have a lead, and Garrett Wilson, who, again, is in that wide receiver room. I've been a wide receiver. I've been in locker rooms before. There's alpha dogs at wideout. There's alpha dogs at tailback. There's alpha dogs at quarterback, right? You never want to have another alpha dog enter into the equation. You say, well, didn't Garrett Wilson play one, 5 catches, 61 yards? He dropped an absolute laser beam from Aaron Rodgers that landed in for an interception that was returned the opposite way back to what? The 1 yard line here, effectively changing that entire game. These guys are worried about more things off the football field now than on the football field. And yes, the Jets aren't a good football team at 2-5. And yes, people will buy back in because of how much talent they have. Let's switch it over to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who came into this game, Ben, at 4-2 on the season. I told everybody the minute we started hearing that Russell Wilson last week was taking first team reps, absolutely 1,000%, this is the right move. Because once again, it's not even talking down to people like, you never played the game. Forget about playing the game here. Let's just go, and I used this anomaly a few times last week, Ben, or analogy, I should say. If you're having a catch in the backyard, we all have that friend where you stand 15, 20 yards away, throws that perfect spiral right at your chest every single time, easy catch back and forth. Then you have the friend that throws one at your feet, throws one at your knees, and then throws one in the trees, and you got to go chase it down. It's like, I don't feel like having a catch anymore. Well, Donnie, why are you telling the story? Look at George Pickens. He didn't feel like having that catch anymore with Justin Fields because he couldn't get him the football. Every once in a while, yes, the ball would come to George Pickens. But when you're a wide receiver in an offense that you're running your route based on timing and understanding, the minute hike happens and you take 3 steps and you're in the middle of your route going like, I'm probably not getting this football. I don't even feel like running this route. We've all been there as wide receivers. Then you can get Russell Wilson and say, hold on now. I'm going to run a route one-on-one. He's going to throw a pillow 40 yards downfield that gives me a chance to outjump this DB, which I know I can do time and time again. George Pickens, 5 catches, 111, 1 touchdown, multiple pass interferences against. The entire field opens up. And you might even say, well, Donnie, Najee Harris had 21 for 102. That's exactly what happens when your entire playbook is available to your offense. You move the football. The Jets came in with a top 10 defense. The Steelers dropped 37 points on them. That's not a coincidence. Justin Fields wasn't going to do that. Mike Tomlin, thank you for seeing the bigger picture, winning regular season games as opposed to what you heard on the telecast. He wants to win a Super Bowl. The only way they have any chance of winning a Super Bowl was Russell Wilson, not Justin Fields. Perfect. End of story. Love the way the game played out. I was right. They were wrong. How about that?
264 yards and 2 touchdowns for Russ. Last year for Denver, he threw for more than 3 bills in 2 of the first 3 games, threw for more than 250 one other time after that. More prolific last night for Pittsburgh than really he was the entirety of his last 2 years in Mile High. And Donnie, that is the key when you look at the Steelers. Not just getting to the playoffs, not just having a winning record once again with Mike Tomlin, but maybe, just maybe, playing for an AFC title for the first time since 2016.
That defense is good enough to get to the playoffs and do some damage. But hear me out on this. You got to put Justin Fields in the red zone on short down situations. I'm telling you right now, I was actually disappointed that didn't happen last night. Russ, from 20 to 20, short yarded situation, goal lines, get Justin Fields in there. This Steelers team can do something right now. I'm buying in on the Steelers. Who would have thought that?
That's almost slanderous in the Commonwealth. More around the NFL weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Donnie can take his victory lap, and we can highlight the Pittsburgh Steelers, now 5-2, winning outright once again as an underdog. They have been a dog now twice in their 7 weeks. They have won outright in both. It is what Mike Tomlin does. The Steelers as an underdog since the start of 2022. That's post Ben Roethlisberger, now 14-9-1 ATS. And Donnie, maybe it was that simple. And maybe Russell Wilson is thriving in an organization that understands just a winning mentality. Because we had a Steelers team as an underdog, not expected to win a significant matchup. We had a Jets team that often finds an active way to lose, expected to win a marquee game once again. And New York comes up short, even with the addition of Devontae Adams. 3 grabs last night on 9 targets. Aaron Rodgers was looking for his former Packers teammate. 30 receiving yards under his receiving yards prop and did not find Pater. Aaron Rodgers himself, 2 interceptions in the game. 1 you mentioned, a rifle off the hands of Garrett Wilson, but still more interceptions than touchdowns for Aaron Rodgers for the second time in his last 3 games. Donnie, the Jets are 3 games below 500 at 2-5. I don't know if Devontae Adams will change anything moving forward. I was never optimistic it would truly move the needle for the Jets to even snap a 13-year playoff drought. It seems as though that might be the case after night number 1 of Devontae Adams in a Jets uniform.
They're going to get better on offense. They're too good not to be. Now, the questions always come up is how efficient is that offensive line going to be and keep Aaron Rodgers upright? But when we're talking about Devontae Adams working his way back into the system, finding that groove, who's your true number 3? Is it Alan Lazard? Is Garrett Wilson going to be there? They'll score points. But the bigger issue was they had a lead yesterday, 15-6, that it looked like they were just going to win that football going away, and Russell Wilson was the quarterback that woke up. The defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers woke up, and not the New York Jets. The issue starting with the Jets the season outside of game number 1 really wasn't their defense. It was we're looking at Aaron Rodgers to make all of those plays we were so accustomed to when he was with the Green Bay Packers, and he's not making those now. He had 1 horrendous interception last night. 1 wasn't his fault, but you're still going to get, you know, that 2 interception day hung directly on you because that's just the way statistics works. But also, the ground game, 15 carries for 54 yards yesterday when you had the lead in the first half by close to double digits. That's unacceptable. And yes, Breece Hall's an unbelievable talent. 6 catches for 103. You should have won that game going away, but they just can't mesh those 2 talented running backs with the passing game right now, and they're 2-5, but still the talking heads, and sometimes including myself, go, I don't understand. The defense now is going to get Hassan Reddick next week. How are they not winning football games, let alone getting blown out by the Pittsburgh Steelers at this point? Big changes have to be made in New York. They're already making some of those in season, but the question is going to be, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, are we running this back next year as if just an offseason away from an older quarterback, an aging Devontae Adams at that point, a monster contract that he has? I just don't see it happening right now. It's a shame because I thought they would win last night and maybe sort of kickstart their season, has a chance to get into the playoffs. There is expanded playoffs now. There are 7 teams that get in. They're still jumped in with a lot of other teams where if they can win, let's just say, next 2 out of 3 games, they'll be back in, quote-unquote, the playoff race. But what we see out of the Jets was never Robert Saleh's fault, was never, hey, we got to make changes at this point. No, it's always been Aaron Rodgers. And until they start winning, it is going to be Aaron Rodgers.
There are now 8 teams in the AFC, half of the 16 that have a winning record, and the Jets are not one of them. They're 3 games below 500. The Jets have needed to win 2 marquee games in primetime, with the entirety of the country focused on the result. And they have squandered the opportunity. Done with this team. They don't deserve to be in the playoffs. I do not believe they will. All right, elsewhere around the NFL, let's go to Minneapolis. A huge divisional duel yesterday between the previously undefeated Vikings and the Detroit Lions. At the end of a wild game yesterday, especially in the fourth and final quarter, Both teams are 5-1. The Lions hand the Vikes their first loss of the year. Detroit vaults into the top spot in the NFC North as the Lions win 31-29 outright as a slight underdog on the road in Minnesota. Total of 50.5 does go over. First game of the year for Detroit as an underdog. They win outright. Jared Goff has been sensational, and the Lions are 5-1 in first place in this gauntlet of a division.
I looked at this game yesterday, and it was a simple handicap for me. Like, if you were looking to bet Minnesota, which ended up losing that football game, Detroit wins and covers, it was just came down to Justin Jefferson. I said, if he doesn't go over his number, which is like 91.5 or 92, they're not going to win that football game. 7 catches for 81 yards and a touchdown, they lost that game. But here's the bigger, it's not even, like, Minnesota's a good football team. Undefeated coming in, they played Detroit right down to the wire, a fantastic football game in an unbelievable division. But we're looking at Jared Goff now. Efficiency, absent. This is when he came out of Cal, we're saying, like, you know what? This guy can be efficient and run the offense. It just didn't work for LA. Change of scenery. And remember, guys, he was a throw-in quarterback just to get a live, warm body at quarterback for Detroit in that trade with Matthew Stafford. And he turns out 22 of 25 for 282 touchdown passes, no interceptions. Had a game this year where he didn't throw an incomplete pass. A passer rating of 140 on the road against a Brian Flores defense. But let's also go to the bigger picture here. I said for weeks now, Detroit is the best offense in the NFL. And it might not even be close at this point. The numbers that they're drawing up for Ben Johnson, their offensive coordinator, like again, 280 in the passing game, no turnovers. Well, how did you run the football? 27 carries for 144 and 2 touchdowns, even with a banged up David Montgomery where Gibbs steps in for 15 for 116. When we talk about the 49ers of the past, winning at every level, I have the best offensive line in football in Detroit, a quarterback that damn near might be in that MVP race in the next 2 weeks here and might be leading it here, maybe the best backfield in football, and a wide receiving core that's dynamic with probably the top play caller going right now on offense in Ben Johnson. I love every single thing about this Detroit Lions team, Ben. I was so impressed with that victory on the road yesterday.
And the Lions, of course, changing the shape of their franchise a year ago, winning their first divisional crown in 3 decades, winning their first playoff game in 32 years. That was the expectation now for Detroit. Yesterday, Donnie, the first time this year they were booked as an underdog, they win outright. It was a wild game. The Lions led 28-17 midway through the third quarter. Then into the fourth quarter with the Lions still up by 5 points. David Montgomery, normally sure-handed, gets stripped. A perfect punch. Ball's on the turf. Ivan Pace Jr. picks it up, scoops, and scores for Minnesota. The Vikings take a lead. But then Jared Goff shows off the efficiency, drives Detroit down the field, some good rushing game as well to set up a 44-yard field goal for Jake Bates, who does deliver with 15 seconds left. His first year, Donnie, in the NFL, he's an awesome story, was a historic kicker in the UFL for the Michigan Panthers. He delivers the game winner yesterday. So now we look at the NFC North. The Lions in first at 5-1. The Vikings still a darn good and solid football team, but now 5-1. The Lions, the favorites to win the NFC Championship. And Donnie Wrightside, that feels fitting in the Motor City.
It does, and they are the best team right now. And they'll make changes. If you're looking to go for that Super Bowl push, right, the trade deadline is coming up here. They'll be able to add a pass rusher or two to make up for Aiden Hutchinson. They'll be able to make those key ingredients. But also, look at the NFC North, 5-1, 5-1, 5-2, 4-2. What an unbelievable division here that you're looking at. And, you know, as we say, you know, iron sharpens iron at this point. These teams are going to play each other all season long to try to determine that supremacy. We'll get to the Green Bay Packers, who are absolutely fantastic in their own right. But just watch this football division. The Lions are really good. The Vikings are really good. The Packers are really good. And quite frankly, the jury's still out on the Bears, 4-2. They actually could be really good as well when they appear next week against the Washington Commanders.
DRS, the Vikings had the lowest win total in this division, 7.5. There was an idea, at least a conception before the year, that the floor might not be all that deep in the NFC North. We did not expect this. Mm-mm. We'll talk more divisional rivalries on the other side of the break as we continue to recap everything from Sunday. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Another divisional duel yesterday in the Sunday slate of the National Football League that we recap here on this Monday. DRS, your Eagles on the road against the New York Giants. In MetLife, it was Saquon Barkley's homecoming, and boy, oh boy, did Barkley show out. But the spread was only 3 points, 3.5 in favor of Philly. Maybe thought of as a game that would be ugly, decided by a single score. And for an Eagles team that entered with a winning record, but not a lot of positivity or optimism after the defeat of the Cleveland Browns last weekend, Philly rolled in MetLife 28-3 in easy cover as that 3.5-point road favorite. They stifled New York offensively. Total of 42.5 stays under. Philadelphia now 4-2, and they are playing better football, or at least as displayed yesterday.
Yeah, they are playing good football here, and it starts with the defense, Ben. Back-to-back weeks not giving up a defensive touchdown. I don't care if that it was the Cleveland Browns who stink. I don't care if it's the New York Giants who stink. That's pretty, still a pretty good feat in the NFL. And also, the Eagles were struggling over the first couple weeks of the season with getting sacks. Not anymore. I believe they sacked Deshaun Watson 5 times. They sacked Giants quarterbacks 8 times yesterday. And Saquon Barkley with 17 for 176 and a touchdown yesterday. A.J. Brown caught that deep ball, fourth down, 41-yard touchdown. This game was over right away. But it just, like, sometimes you look at the Giants and say, like, what is the actual goal at this point right now? Like, Malik Nabers is about, 4 for 41. It's still Daniel Jones. If I'm a Giants fan now, your only goal is, I guess, just continue to run Daniel Jones out there, hopefully lose every single football game the rest of the way, and finally get a quarterback. And having said that, hopefully your ownership changes hands, and maybe the Tisch family can buy out the Mara family and absolutely kick the Maras out of that front office. And also, Joe Shane, I always said this before. Dave Gettleman, I thought, was one of the single worst NFL GMs I've ever seen in my life. And it was hilarious that the Giants had him. They make a change, and dare I say, Ben, got a worse GM than Dave Gettleman and Joe Shane. And I love Brian Daboll, but here's what the argument against Brian Daboll is. I had such high hopes because I remember when Daboll got hired for the New York Giants, I said, man, that's the last guy I want with the Giants. He's going to turn that program around. I really respect what he can do, and if he can just find a quarterback. But you know where he took a huge step down? When he okayed and said, yeah, Daniel Jones is my franchise guy. You have to fire the general manager and the head coach and the quarterback. Your goal is to lose out, fire Daboll, fire your GM, and hopefully you can bring a general manager in at least better than Dave Gettleman and Joe Shane. It doesn't make any sense how bad they are run as an organization. Also, from an Eagle standpoint here, when I was back in college, Ben, mid-1990s, the Giants were pasting the Philadelphia Eagles left and right in the late 90s. And I was going to school in northern New Jersey. It was painful. But 25 years of bliss and destroying the New York Giants, they are the Philadelphia Eagles' little brother at this point. I mean, look at the record for like the year 2000. It's astounding how easily the Philadelphia Eagles dispatched of the Giants. And I love it.
And it was easy for the Eagles yesterday. The G-men had 113 yards of total offense. Malik Nabers was back. He was the leading receiver. 4 grabs for 41 yards. Devin Singletary returned. Maybe some hope the Giants offense could pick it up. Nope. They've been under in 6 of 7 games this year. Philly under in 3 of 4 wins. And quickly on Joe Shane, who, whether he liked it or not, was being filmed in the offseason by HBO's cameras for Hard Knocks and said a lot of things that went viral on social media, especially in the negotiations and conversations with Saquon Barkley. Oh boy, did he eat some of those words yesterday. Saquon Barkley, 17 carries for 176 yards and a touchdown. 2 grabs for 11 yards over the props yesterday of his combo number that was anticipated to be in the 100s. That's where he ended. So the Eagles cruise. They are 4-2. Now let's get to a great interconference game in Lambeau between the Packers and the Texans. Green Bay, 3.5-point home favorite. Houston does cover, but the Packers walk it off with new kicker Brandon McManus delivering the game-winning field goal as time expires at Lambeau. Green Bay wins 24-22. The 45-yard field goal for McManus for Green Bay gives the Packers their fifth win of this season. Green Bay DRS now 5-2, despite uneven play out of Jordan Love yesterday.
Yeah, here's the problem, right? Because I do like the gunslinger mentality, almost like Brett Favre. Like, yeah, I'll throw in the tight windows. Yeah. I'll throw interceptions, but I'll throw touchdowns as well. He finishes with 220 and three touchdown passes, which you like. The ground game was decent. Jacobs, 12 carries for 76 yards. But how is this even possible that the Houston Texans had the lead late in this game when C.J. Stroud was 10 of 21 for 86 yards and no touchdown passes? Now, Mixon, 25 carries, 115. That's not really the recipe that the Houston Texans like to use. It's usually electricity at the wide receiver position where their best wide receiver was Diggs at 5 for 23 yesterday. The leader was one catch, 28 yards for Schultz, and he was a tight end. I almost want to take away from this game, I like the Green Bay Packers. I expect them to be final 14, let's just say, in the NFC when it's all said and done, with a legitimate chance to go to the Super Bowl. But I come away from this game with the Texans going like, we can hang around and beat one of the best teams in football in their own building. We don't have our A game. Let's wait till Nico Collins comes back in a couple weeks. Let's continue to play some pretty good defense here and hold on. I actually took away a lot from the Texans' loss, the same way I took away what I expected Green Bay to win the game. They won the game, and now they sit at 5-2.
DRS, Joe Mixon has been great in all three full games he has played for Houston this year. Yeah. Five total touchdowns, at least 115 scrimmage yards in all three. It was crazy to see the ending stat line for Stroud, 86 yards, and know that Houston covered on the road, now 8-4 against the spread as an underdog. Three guys in the NFL have thrown eight interceptions. Gardner Minshew, Patrick Mahomes, and Jordan Love. He has thrown an INT in all five games he has played this year for Green Bay, albeit with 15 touchdown passes. It is the good with the bad. Donnie, we'll get to this game even more so on the other side. But the story yesterday in Cleveland, right before the end of the opening half, Deshaun Watson, non-contact injury. We are not doctors. We will have Dr. Chow on in a little bit. But from the replay, when you see the calf vibrate and rupture in the way that it did, it often means an Achilles injury. Deshaun Watson's season and his future in Cleveland might be over. The Bengals win as they needed to do in Cleveland. Plenty more reaction on the other side.
I'm excited for it too. By the way, yeah, I didn't know it was my turn to speak there, BSS. What's going on?
We'll save it till after the break. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hand up, bad hosting on my part to put my co-host and partner in crime, Donnie Wrightside, in a tough spot with less than 20 seconds left before the commercial break. So now we get to the game yesterday in Cleveland. Donnie, as we know, it's been a struggle all year for the Browns. With less than a minute and a half in the opening half, Deshaun Watson goes down with a non-contact injury. Cleveland already saying they fear it is a ruptured Achilles. Now, there were some cheers from the Cleveland fans. They have not been happy with Deshaun Watson's performance or the contract that has led him to kind of shape the future of this franchise. I'll just say this. I never root for injuries. It's unfortunate that Deshaun Watson is going to miss the remainder of this season, but it's just been an uneasy season for the Browns as a whole. The Bengals win a football game they needed to, holding on for a 21-14 win. But the story yesterday out of the land, the injury to Deshaun Watson, and what lies ahead for this Browns franchise.
Doom and gloom, because you don't get that money back from insurances to go against your cap here. He counts a ton over the next couple of years, and who knows if he's even going to be available next year to play. But let's get beyond that. We always brought up that, right? Two wrongs don't make a right. Yes, you can take a look at Deshaun Watson, which you get into his off-the-field issues, but let's just say he gets injured on the field. It's never a good look for the home fans to actually cheer that on and be happy with it here. That's not a good look. But also, the same thing from his own teammates, acting like he was Mother Teresa, and he's putting his life on the line for Cleveland, and has been a model citizen in the NFL, like such a detached reality, like on both sides from the fans and the actual players themselves, and rightfully so. Cleveland, which is a wonky city in football for the last 25 years, just trying to win football games on Sunday seems like a Herculean task. So nothing good came out of this game from a Cleveland Browns side, because if you were hoping as a Cleveland fan that Deshaun Watson wouldn't be your quarterback, the salary cap just doesn't clear up. He's going to be on the book $60, $70 million a year for the next 2 to 3 seasons, which is outrageous. Now you have to look for who's going to be your quarterback moving forward. How are you going to rebuild this roster? Are you going to completely decimate this team at the deadline? Like Myles Garrett, I'm pretty sure you can get back a first-round draft pick for. Are you going to start to go in that direction? David Njoku is an athletic tight end. A lot of teams would like to have him as well. And Jerry Jeudy, who hasn't worked out at all since coming to Cleveland. Do you just fire sale him off for a 6th-round pick just to try to get something back and completely restart this team? Kevin Stefanski, coach of the year. It's not much you can do. 1-6 on the season. Yeah. And they look like they might be 1-16, Ben, when it's all said and done now.
The second-year guy, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, comes in first, throws 2 interceptions, and then it was Jameis Winston. And whether it was Winston's words after the game or Myles Garrett, listen, 2 things can live in harmony. You don't have to cheer for Deshaun Watson suffering a catastrophic injury, but we don't need a grandstand for the guy as some model citizen. He's not. Just look at the track record and what is played out in the legal system. Again, you don't have to be happy that he is hurt, but you don't need to make him seem that he has done the right thing for the most part. Myles Garrett, the words "for the most part" really doing the lion's share of that carry. The Bengals, a kickoff return to start. Donnie's guy, Charlie Jones, 100 yards to the house. Cincy DRS has won 2 in a row. 3 of their last 4 after the 0-3 start. They have covered in all 3 wins, booked as at least a 4-point favorite yesterday, laying 5.5 on the road in the land. The Buffalo Bills, one of the largest favorites of the Sunday slate, laying 8.5 back home against Tennessee. Some murky waters to start. Buffalo down 10-0 early in the second quarter. That would be the final points Tennessee scored, and then Buffalo would score the final 34 as the Bills come all the way back to win 34-10. They cover as an 8.5 point home favorite. Total of 42.5 goes over because of Buffalo. Josh Allen, 323 yards, 2 touchdown tosses, including Donnie to one of the pieces already traded away by the Browns, Amari Cooper, in his Buffalo debut, a receiving touchdown from Josh Allen.
Love the Bills team total yesterday. That one hit. Love the over in this game. That one hit. Love Khalil Shakir over 34.5. He hits that with 7 for 65. Love Josh Allen over 1.5. This is my most profitable game of the day yesterday. But I do got to give a little bit of shout out to sweet baby Ray Davis. Did you guys watch, man, which most people already had the TV shut off? He rumbles in for what? A 15 or so yard touchdown yesterday. Or actually, was it a 20? Might have been 22 yards. Rumbles 22 yards to clinch that game, which gave me the total for that game. It's one of those, Ben, where I said before the game started, do I want Josh Allen over 213.5? Let me pass on that. Do you want to make my best bet over 1.5 touchdown passes? Let me pass on that too. Do I want the team total to be over 25.5? I'll pass on that. You know what? Let me just take over 41. And I was going to take a loss when I nailed everything here. That was a perfect game setup. I love me some Buffalo Bills at 5-2 now. Watch out for those bad boys moving forward.
The rest of the Sunday slate into college football in Hour 2 starts next.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.